Part 1. During the time of Corona, boredom began to leave its permanent mark as I sat mindlessly for hours in front of Netflix gorging my way through all the rationed snacks. I was disappointed to see that by not moving I'd worked my chubby self into some apocalyptical oblivion, where even walking to the fridge was becoming problematic. So after watching some Marie Kondo late one evening I decided to bring the Zen back into my life and take up some vigorous cleaning. It was during this surge of motivation I came across a delicious photo of my 30th bespoke birthday cake of a little hiker climbing a mountain range. I wiped away the drool from my mouth whilst admiring the sugary icing over the mountaintops. My mind flicked back to the time of the photograph, how I'd embarked on a journey to the Himalayas to celebrate my 30th birthday. And boy had it been rough. The Himalayas had always been a place close to my heart, the draw of the imposing mighty mountains wrapped in the blankets of snow and crystallized blue lakes came from the spiritual stories I would hear as a kid from my mother. She would tell me how Mount Everest was the heavenly home for the Hindu god Shiva, his angelic wife Parvati, and how they would not allow anyone to reach the top. As I grew older, a simple Google search revealed that this was not the case as Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay had reached the summit of Everest back in 1953 without finding God or the heavenly home. To my mother's defense, my search did come across quite a few horror stories of mountaineers that had perished in their journey to the top and the extreme difficulty each one of them had faced. Maybe in the words of the Dalai Lama himself, if Edmund hadn't seen God, had he even got to the top? I knew summiting Everest had to be left to the professionals, but if I could follow in the steps of many mountaineers before me to the base camp, it would count for something. A few friends thought I was mad, I am, which only incited motivation. From the moment of booking my epic 22-day trip to the Himalayas, I gave myself time to train. Practicing on every hill, long hike and mountain I could find, became my weekend activity. I knew it was not going to be easy. Not only this, I ordered an embarrassingly bulky mask, before you ask, not suitable for COVID protection, so I could get used to higher altitudes whilst training, but I could never bring myself to use it past the front door of my house. My anxiety took me to quite a dark place, especially when reading into dying on the mountains, especially since I'd be spending a considerable amount of time at an altitude of 5,000 meters. Most information revolved around high altitude and how acute mountain sickness could lead to pulmonary or even cerebral edema, all which could get pretty serious if not correctly managed. To add to a fear-inducing list, there was also the rare risk of a glacial lake outburst flood, having a plane crash in or near Lukla, the world's most dangerous airport, or more commonly overexerting myself and suffering from dehydration, only to die if I got particularly unlucky. I was confident if none of these things happened I'd be on track to having a top-notch birthday. I planned to go on my own, but I knew since it was my 30th I wanted to share that achievement with someone so we could remember it for the years to come. It was only then my good friend Raj, a quick-witted Indian lad with little to none hiking skills, decided to take on the challenge with me. He too was in search for an adventure which took him past the office doors. Before we left I cast aside his rose-tinted spectacles and encouraged he prepare for the multi-day trek by joining me on my weekend hikes. On reaching Kathmandu, the capital city of Nepal, we were at 1,400 meters above sea level. This was where the first moment acclimatization began, and in order to do so we spent a few days exploring the wonders of the city with its delightful Hindu temples. Unfortunately we managed to get kicked out of one A-story for another day, stupas, vibrant cultural ceremonies and different mouth-watering cuisines such as my now favorite momos, steamed vegetable dumplings. It was fascinating to see how Hinduism and Buddhism intertwined so symbiotically. A day before our anticipated flight to Lukla, the tour company handed us a helplessly small duffel bag and told us about the 10-kilogram weight limit. Raj and I had spent the entire evening before analyzing every item of food, hiking equipment, and clothing in order to keep to the limits. This was proving impossible. It is in moments of sheer panic like this when stupidity turns into pure ingenuity. I decided to wear most of my hiking clothes in layers, then stuff the pockets of our puffer jackets with all the snacks and toilet roll we could possibly muster. Raj encouraged this lightbulb moment by reassuring me that we were not going to be personally weighed. So here we were the day of our flight struggling through airport in grossly oversized blue puffer coats as we attempted to shuffle like Mr. and Mrs. Blobby onto the plane. There was a momentary salute as we passed security, only to be stopped by our tour guide who surprisingly snitched on us for evading weight limits, therefore having to painfully remove all the chocolate, snacks and toilet roll from our pockets. Luckily for us, The airport security must have found our situation entertaining and allowed us to board with all our stuff at no extra cost. The window seat views to Lukla were magnificent, like entering a heavenly snow globe with a backdrop of conical ice-glazed mountains and floaty cotton clouds. It was a bite of my new reality. 35 minutes in, the plane descended sharply with a real struggle and landed onto the barely there runway. We survived. As we overcame the world's most dangerous landing, a celebratory drink was in order, in my case a naughty soda. The feeling of impending excitement overcame us as we saw the enchanting Buddha's prayer wheels and colorful prayer flags dotted around us. There were stupas made from large rocks which carried the symbols of the Buddhist eyes and marked the wisdom, conscience and peace. We began to climb hill by hill, stopping every few hours along the rugged paths at tea houses for black tea, a few refreshments and in some cases a night stay. Here we would meet other hikers from all the corners of the world, play cards and tuck into our dal bhat and warm rotis at night. I was always on the lookout for those delicious momos, but as food supplies were all transported up by the Sherpas with great difficulty, it was a matter of making do with what we could get. Everything was going well as we crossed suspension bridges, learned how to squat in the tea house toilets and traversed rocky terrain for hours on end. We captured photographs of the adorable mountain yaks and mountainous vistas while sharing meaningful conversation with other hikers we'd meet along the way. In the evening, I'd watch the spiritual sunset over the mountains while sipping blissfully on my tea. It was only a few days in, but I felt the calm. If only that could last. On the night of arriving into Namche Bazaar, the biggest bustling town of the Khumbu region, I was exhausted but thrilled to have made it to day 3 without a glitch after 7 hours of hiking. Feeling relaxed and ready to explore, I decided to grab a donut from the nearby bakery. I stepped down the uneven stairs in my casual shoes and PJs. Maybe I lost temporary concentration as I began to bring up my Nepal guidebook on my iPad, or I just wasn't seeing where I was going, but before I had a chance to refocus, my foot stepped on air and I lost balance. As I stumbled, I came hurtling down the steep staircase, only to land awkwardly and painfully onto my left ankle. I let out a gut-wrenching scream. I looked down at my foot. It was game over. Dot.